Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And that, Marjorie, just so you will know, and your children will someday know, is the night the lights went out in Georgia.
Come on, Julia Sugarbaker.
Yes, honey.
That, first of all, that moment still gives me chills.
It made me cry watching
Dixie Carter,
it this morning.
If I were an actress, speaking to you now, you should use this as your auditioning monologue for everything, because it's one of the greatest monologues in the history of television. And we thought all of our eyes were on Georgia. That's where we were last night. Yeah. I went to bed last night. Joe Biden was just behind by about 1,800 votes going into the night. I said, look, I'm going to go to bed. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna hope and pray something good happens in Georgia and maybe Pennsylvania. Here we come into studio, and just moments ago, Joe Biden now takes the lead in not just Georgia, but also Pennsylvania. And Pennsylvania is trending heavily in his favor. He's pulling in 80-some, 92% in some counties of the mail-in vote.
I would like to say good morning, and I would like to say to Stacey Abrams, because Stacey Abrams is the one that made this happen, honey. And if you think that the people in your own state don't have the voice that you need to represent you, you're wrong. That is why we vote. She is posed up, honey, in a suit. Somebody said this is the clapback that we all needed.
Here's the thing. She should have won that election in Georgia. She should be the governor of Georgia right now. Brian Kemp stole it.
Yep.
And so she did what black women often do.
She fixed it.
She got to work.
Yeah.
And she and her team registered roughly 1 million new voters in the state of Georgia. Georgia has not gone Democratic, and it still might not, to be clear. It still might
but
not.
But we are very close.
There are more ballots to be counted. There are also military ballots that could come in a week or so later, and that could still tilt this back. But to even be having this conversation, some Democrats saw it as a pipe dream, but this state has not gone Democrat since Bill Clinton.
Well, I think it's important to note, too, that even if it doesn't, it is nice that 1 million people who did not have a voice now have one. I mean, it has been so difficult, I think, for people to vote for many years. They make it very complicated. They make it so that you'll wait in line and then something goes wrong or people don't know where to go.
And voters in Georgia, some of them waited in line 7, 8, 9 hours
to
cast a single vote.
Yeah.
I love our democracy and I would fight for our republic all day long. I don't know that I would do that, to be honest.
No, but also shout out to, Pennsylvania, my mother's side is from Pittsburgh. My dad is from Philadelphia. Our own very own Trump is from Philadelphia. And I'm just so happy with that too. I feel like this makes sense. I feel like Biden is doing really great. And I feel like we notice how great Biden is doing by the meltdown Trump is having.
Wow.
What was that last night?
Last night I turned and I've made a choice not to listen to him speak very often because it's just not good for my mental health.
It's not good for his mental health.
Well, it feels like bullying. It's a bit triggering for me. I think as a gay man, we all just have those things that are in our lives, that are in our psyche, that can be triggered by people. And Donald Trump is one of those bullying types of people. And some people love that. I mean, you can't make the argument that he's not a bully, but you can make the argument that he speaks to your values, and that is fine.
Yeah.
That is fine for some voters, for many millions of voters. For me, it's not. And so I've made a choice not to listen. But last night I watched and one of the only networks that still carried the speech, because the major networks turned him off because he was lying so much.
I mean, honestly, from the New York Post even coming down on him, people that have really stayed kind of neutral came out yesterday. Even Republicans, absolutely. Hardcore Republicans.
Well, except for Lady G.
Well, Lady
Lindsey
G.
Graham and Mitch McConnell are still, you know, riding with Trump.
Okay, Mitch McConnell needs to worry about what's going on with his hands and not worry about what's going on with Donald Trump.
And Lindsey Graham, I just tell you what, he's got something on him. He has got a dossier on him a mile long. He knows something about Lindsey Graham. And Marco Rubio, Ted Cruz, you see the way that these guys spoke about him during the election. They didn't just say, I'm a better candidate than him. They called him the most vile things you could say.
Yeah.
And somehow turned around and all... fell in line.
Well, listen, I'm not saying anything at all, but it's very similar to, we have the audio later, we'll play it, Wolf on Wall Street, where he's like, I'm not going. Trump is like such a mobster. But if you saw Mitch McConnell walk out the street last week, his hands, his mouth, everything was all
black and blue.
And blue.
Had bandages on.
Yeah, Trump's sending out hit people.
And he just got reelected for 6 more years as a senator of Kentucky, so we'll see. But yeah, we're going to keep you updated all morning long. Obviously, there are more numbers coming in from Pennsylvania. We're also expecting numbers in from your home state of Nevada, perhaps in the next day or so. Arizona's coming in today. Georgia is going to continue coming in this morning. We'll keep you updated all morning long. It's a nail biter, but maybe not. When it's all said and done, it might not actually be nearly as close as we thought. He might actually win by millions more, obviously, than, well, I guess Hillary won 3 years ago. But also in the Electoral College, he might match Donald Trump's performance from 2016, which he called a landslide. Mm-hmm. So it could get really interesting.
Yeah, it could.
Any other news? Anything else going on?
Yeah, there is. All right. So the U.S. reported more than 121,000 new coronavirus cases yesterday, which is an all-time high. The previous all-time high was the day before. Now, the country is rapidly approaching 10 million cumulative cases and 235,000 total deaths, a new forecast from the Centers for Diseases next 2.5 weeks alone. New case records are still soaring in Europe as well, and even more countries are entering renewed lockdowns. Now, in India's southern state, more than 1,400 teachers and students have tested positive for the coronavirus. Now, in our 8 o'clock hour, Dr. James Simmons will join us to discuss what this really means, what we need to know. He is our favorite guy.
Yeah, he'll be here about 2 hours from right now, actually. So wherever you're listening, you know, get yourself comfortable, grab a cup of coffee as you're watching the election results, listen to us, and we're going to keep you safe.
Also, we have our very own Trump, John DiDomenico, joining us next hour. He's so funny, and I'm telling you, this man will have material for the rest of his life.
And he's so busy. He's been doing the Howard Stern Show. He was working with you the other night on Pauly Shore and Comedy Central, and he still makes time for us, and we're so honored to have him. He is so talented.
Love him so much. All right, let's get into a little weather. It's a high of 72 in New York today, a high of 73 in LA, 88 in Vegas, 90 in Palm Springs, and 79 in Houston. Now give us a vibe of the day.
It is the mark of an educated mind to be able to entertain a thought without accepting it. That's a challenge right now for a lot of people going down conspiracy theory rabbit holes and other things. You can think about a thought, consider it, and then push it aside.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right, guys. Well, coming up, Dr. Milo Dodson joins us to discuss how to come together after one of the most divisive elections we've ever been a part of. We're back in 2 minutes.
Michaela Gordon, when I tell you it has been a week.
Lord Jesus.
Honey, it has been a week.
Say it again.
How are you feeling?
Fine.
Checking in. That's what we're doing right now.
Fine.
You're fine?
You know what? I actually, to be honest, I feel better this week than I've felt kind of in months. Mm-hmm. I feel optimistic. I feel like things are going to get back to normal. Even with the Republicans keeping the Senate, I feel like with Biden...
Potentially, yes.
I feel like with Biden coming in, it is a good sense of balance for both parties.
Yeah.
And also, it's almost Christmas. So it's like, what can I complain about?
Stop skipping Thanksgiving. Everybody, please. People are putting their Christmas trees up the morning after Halloween. It makes me mad.
I got my Christmas tree from Vegas. I'm putting it up.
What?
I just have to. It brings me such joy.
I'm not coming over to look at it until
you are coming over
after Thanksgiving.
You're coming over tomorrow to look at it.
You're going to Vegas today. Don't lie.
You're coming over Monday. How are you feeling?
I'm good. You know, it's actually not been... I mean, it's been a roller coaster of emotions all week long. I've been trying to believe, you know, I've been texting Samuel Garrett Pate and Ryan Basham, our connections here on the Morning Beat, all week long. And they've both been consistently saying, Pennsylvania will flip, Georgia will flip, Arizona will hold, Nevada will hold, he's the next president, it's done.
Yeah.
For 2 days now.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know. And I tell my family the same thing. I'm like, this is what I'm hearing. And we all were like, but those numbers look crazy. But then it's all explained, and you think about the difference between mail-in ballots and voting in person on election day, and it's just, it's math. They're just numbers. The votes are being counted. There's nothing shady about it. It's just votes are being counted, and that's exactly what should happen in the democracy. So in that sense, I have hope, and I relate to, you know, feeling good for the first time in a while, but there's still that anxiety. I feel like we as a nation have been held hostage and bullied for 4 years, and that is separate from policy. I want to be very clear about that. There might be some policies that Donald Trump has initiated that people agree with, and that I might agree with some of mm-hmm. them, but it's the bravado and the bullying and the words that he uses that's so triggering to me that I don't care. He could be doing everything right, and I still don't know that I could vote for him just being the type of man that he's shown that he is. So I'm excited to hopefully move on from that soon.
Yeah, I am too. I think that you said it best. And I think if you're feeling exhausted, I've been watching a lot of Instagram stories of people just because that's where I get my news.
Same.
I've been seeing that a lot of people are just exhausted this week. They've had a really hard time, not because of even any sort of depression. It has been a long 4 years. Mm-hmm. It's been a long 8 months. And it is really that feeling of you've been preparing and preparing, whether it be like how you prepare for a wedding or a big event in your life or something monumental or something sad, and then it happens, and then it's like the hangover blues. It's like it wasn't great, it wasn't not great, it was fabulous, but now it's over.
And the emotions,
and now you're exhausted.
The emotions of it all are very confusing, because first and foremost, Joe Biden was about my seventh choice in the primaries. But like, also, I'm kind of cool with Uncle Joe just taking things over right now, because he has shown repeatedly through this campaign that he's steady, he's kind and compassionate, and that matters to me a lot right now. On the flip side, and this is some weird trauma that I should probably talk to my therapist about, but as a gay man, I oftentimes in my life have had to find compassion for people who have judged me or written me out of their lives, and I've had to be the bigger person time and time and time again. And so there's some abuse that goes along with that and some trauma that comes along with it. And even in some weird way, as I watched Donald Trump last night have a complete meltdown on national television, there was still a weird part of me that was like, I kind of feel sorry for him, because we know he didn't have the greatest childhood. He didn't have the greatest relationship with his father. He was treated, you know, so poorly as a kid. I see the brokenness in him. He can't help himself.
Yeah.
He can't get out of his own way. And there's a part of me that feels for that. I can't stand him. I want him gone. But there's a small part of me that kind of relates to that in a weird way.
Yeah, I understand that. And, you know, I would like to say this, and this is probably the worst advice, honey, especially considering we just talked to Dr. Milo. But sometimes you also don't need to be the bigger person. Sometimes you can just say, I don't like how you treated me, and I don't mess with you anymore. There's a lot of freedom in that. And I think that, you know, for so long we've been taught, like, move on and breathe and it's okay and heal your inner child. And sometimes it's like, no, honey, I don't want to, I'm not dealing with you anymore. I don't like you.
Yeah,
I'm allowed not to like
you. You've shown me who
you
are. You're not a good person.
And I don't want to be friends with you.
That's true.
Period.
That's true.
So find your strength wherever you find it, whether it's being the bigger person or being the bigger person by saying, I don't F with you.
Yeah, if you need to meditate or if you want to be petty. But I'm okay with both.
You can peditate.
Peditate! Whoa, you're making a video this weekend. I see it.
We're
can't wait to watch it on TikTok.
Can't wait. After you write a script so that I can win an Emmy.
Stop.
Also, he's writing Hunger Games. I got flipping the script in the mail. I'm reading it this week. Coming up, Red, White, and Q. We have Samuel Garrett-Pate joining us to discuss Biden approaching 270 and Trump's major meltdown last night live on air. We're back in 2 minutes.
I'm not leaving. I'm not leaving.
I'm not leaving. The show goes on. This is my home. They're going to need to send in the National Guard or SWAT team, because I ain't going nowhere.
Leo DiCaprio, Wolf of Wall Street, feels eerily familiar this morning.
Listen to me. I'm screaming. If that wasn't Trump last night giving his press conference... I'm not leaving.
The narcissism of
not
it all.
Not leaving. Not doing it.
Just, I wish on my best day I could have a fraction of that ego.
Yeah.
I thought I had an ego.
No, you don't.
Nope, it's all fake. It's all fake in these states, but it's absolutely right in these states. These people are corrupt. These people are not, until it starts to flip. And then, oh, they're corrupt now, too.
Yeah.
I love the great state of the Commonwealth of Philadelphia, or of Pennsylvania. I love it. I love it. I love it.
But you
now
know,
they're all crooked. They're stealing the election.
It's so funny, though, because we could have honestly predicted this.
Well, we did.
He was so quick.
Also, Hillary did. Hillary predicted all of this 4 years ago. She was saying it on the debate stage, in the debates with him. She was predicting everything he was going to do and say, and he's done it all.
Yeah, but I'm saying with Amy Coney Barrett, just sure. 2 weeks ago, we were like, he knows he's losing. He's not going to do well. He's going to put her in, and then he's going to try to take it to the Supreme Court. But I just don't think, me and Lisa have this full-on bet going. Neither of us voted for Trump, but she's like, girl, he's going to win. I have a feeling he's still going to get it. And I was like, no, there's no way. So we have a full bet happening in our household, but I just don't see it happen. I don't see how Lisa could win this bet.
But let's think about that. That's the state of our democracy in 2020, where we can't even trust votes anymore.
Yeah.
Sean Hannity is calling for a complete redo. Not just a recount, a redo.
Oh my God, my aunt who voted for Trump went on Facebook yesterday and was like, you know, we just need to redo all of this. Let's just redo it all.
Yeah.
You got to bring your ID and you got to vote in person and that's it.
Do you think Democrats didn't think that in 2016? Did we call for it?
That's
absolutely not. Because Hillary would have won if Democrats showed up in these numbers. They just thought she had it in the bag. And a lot of people just didn't vote because, oh, she's going to win by a landslide.
And that happens all the time.
Of course. So it's absurd to me. Listen, nothing is finalized yet. Pennsylvania has not been called. Georgia has not been called. Arizona, Nevada, not been called. Joe Biden is now leading in all four of those states now, which is wild. North Carolina also not called. Trump is still in the lead there, but it's really insignificant at this point. It could be an interesting day. Today could be the day that Joe Biden steps out there and says,
today could be the day.
Yeah.
Went down.
Oh, honey.
In Georgia.
What did you say? Went down in Georgia? You need
lights. Went out.
Oh, wow.
Whenever you know I get some words wrong. Okay, it's a Friday.
You are not Julia Sugarbaker.
You're not Julia Sugarbaker.
I love Dixie Carter. Okay.
And you're not even Leo in The Wolf.
I'm definitely not Leo. Come
you're
on.
More of
can
a
we play? Can we play the Julia Sugarbaker
just
audio
do it
again?
For us.
I just love it. It makes me so happy.
I mean, it literally makes me cry.
Come on, gays.
And that. Marjorie, just so you will know, and your children will someday know, is the night the lights went out in Georgia.
Well, it seems like last night the lights went on in Georgia, in large part thanks to Stacey Abrams.
Oh, Stacey Abrams is amazing.
Many people will tell you she still feels like she had that governorship robbed from her by Brian Kemp 2 years ago, and she took that opportunity and registered nearly a million new voters in the state of Georgia. That's democracy at its finest. Michaela Gordon, what else is going on? COVID numbers not looking good.
Oh, no, the COVID numbers are not looking great. The U.S. reported more than 121,000 new coronavirus cases yesterday, which is an all-time high. The previous all-time high was, yesterday. Now, the country is rapidly approaching 10 million cumulative cases and 235,000 total deaths. A new forecast from the Centers for Disease Control predicts 31,000 additional American lives could be lost in the next 2.5 weeks alone. New case records are still soaring in Europe as well, and even more countries are entering renewed lockdowns. In India's southern state, more than 1,400 teachers and students have tested positive for the virus. We will be joined with Dr. James Simmons in the next hour to discuss what this means and what we need to prepare for. But listen, if Biden takes it, you know, not that anybody has a proper plan. And I understand that. And I'm not even going to drag Trump because, you know, it's a pandemic that none of us could foresee. But I know that just simply wearing masks is something that Biden thinks is very important
and
being responsible.
And also, I got to push back on that just a little bit, though,
because
on one hand, Donald Trump doesn't have a plan. Like, there isn't a plan. And also, we did foresee this. These things happen. These pandemics, we're on the verge of pandemics all the time, actually. And there was actually a plan put into place. We know that now. And Donald Trump came in and literally wiped them out. He wiped out that entire office. They got rid of the pandemic plan that Obama and Biden left with them. So, like, I agree what you're saying. Like, he can't control it all. But you can try.
I mean, you can try. But I have so much to drag him on. I don't need to take the pandemic to drag him, because I feel like that was something that nobody could have expected, and the way that it hit, like, it was very different than other pandemics.
Yeah, well, my mom and dad are going through it right now. My dad was exposed just recently. They're waiting on results, so I feel like I can't drag him. And my best friend from high school just lost her dad 2 weeks ago to COVID. So, like, in my mind, I'm like, I take it very personally.
Yeah.
And so I think I'm a little bit more emotional about it. But listen.
I understand that, but I think that now he should have been more responsible. But initially, I just don't agree. I'm not going to put the blame solely on Trump.
Yeah, he did lie to us, though, and Bob Woodward had it all on tape, and we know.
Yeah.
That part. How about this? Can I give you this vibe? Can we go right to this vibe? Because this vibe is good. I don't think anybody wants to know about the weather today. We'll get to that later. Vibe.
All right, give your vibe.
Justin found this vibe.
You've cut off my Trump talk and now my weather. Just give us a vibe, AJ.
Honey, I just don't agree with everything. I'm just going to say it. This is from 2014. This is Donald Trump. This is a quote from Donald Trump 6 years ago. What separates the winners from the losers is how a person reacts to each new twist of fate. What? His own words.
From Trump.
There it is.
Wild. Very interesting.
What was that, Justin?
There's a tweet for everything.
There literally is a tweet for everything.
Oh, my God. The way that he has dragged other people as well in 2008, 2007, they come out of everywhere.
He's like the Library of Congress. He's his own Library of Congress. There's something there for everyone.
Yeah.
Donald Trump is the gift that keeps on giving.
Listen, I know that you want to hate him. I know everybody does. But part of me still is very pleased by him just based off of his antics.
I don't hate him. I pity him.
I kind of still like him a little bit. All right, coming up, Red, White, and Q. Sam Yule-Garrett-Pate joins us on Biden approaching 270. And Trump becomes unglued coming up next.
I will totally accept the results of this great and historic presidential election if I win.
That was Donald Trump, now president of the United States, back in 2016, saying he would only accept the results of the election if he won.
Obviously.
This great, monumental election. Well, we're seeing record numbers this year like we haven't seen in 120-plus years. Mm-hmm. We've never seen such a high percentage of voters turn out in our lifetime. And he's down by 4-plus million votes right now and behind in every single swing state that matters. Here to help us make sense of all of this, Sam Yule-Garrett-Pate, our political expert. Sam, I've been texting you like crazy. You've been spot on every step of the
it's
way.
It's wild.
Break it down for us. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling emotional, incredible, mm-hmm. Sleep deprived. But I just would, to toot my own horn for just a second here.
Go for it.
I would point to a post that I made on Facebook at 1:50 a.m. on November 4th, Wednesday, November 4th, saying, good morning, we're going to win Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania.
He texted me all of that on Tuesday.
Yes,
all of those things on Tuesday. I was talking to my mom. I've got family in Ohio and Kentucky and Georgia. And my boyfriend's from Georgia. His mom's down there. And I said, you guys, I trust him. I don't know why. He said all these things are going to happen. And now as the week has progressed, they're all like, oh, my gosh, it actually is. You were right.
And can I just say, if we now that Joe Biden has officially taken the lead in Pennsylvania and Georgia, the trend lines suggest that those leads will grow and he will secure both of those states. It's simply a matter of time for major outlets to call it at this point. Joe Biden, if he wins just the states that he is currently leading in right now, so we exclude North Carolina, Joe Biden will win 306 electoral votes. In 2016, Donald Trump won 306 electoral votes. The single difference will be, in 2016, Donald Trump lost the popular vote.
Mm-hmm.
In 2020, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris will have not only won 306 electoral votes, but will also have won the popular vote. You know that will eat up Donald Trump.
But here's the thing, not just the popular vote, more votes than any presidential candidate in the history of our country by a lot.
Mm-hmm. Correct. A black woman on the ticket has won more votes than any presidential ticket in the history of the United States of America.
It's a big deal.
Well, I want to ask you, Samuel, because this is the first time that a lot of people, I think, have really, really paid attention. And some of this is new with Donald Trump saying I'm going to the Supreme Court. I am going to fight this. It's obvious that everyone is like, you're crazy and you're lying. Does he have any actual chance of still winning, even if Biden takes Georgia, Pennsylvania, and Nevada?
Not of winning.
Not of winning, but would he have a chance to still be president? Could he fight it enough that he could still be president?
I mean, look, with this president, it's hard to say yes or no to anything, right? Will he try? I mean, yesterday's unhinged, unprecedented.
Wild.
I don't even want to call it a press conference from the White House. Would suggest that he will continue to try to fight it. Here's the thing. If he lost by one state, right, like we saw in 2000, where John Kerry lost by one state, George W. Bush won by one state, they fought it out. The Supreme Court, for the first and only time in the history of the United States of America, decided who the next president would be. That is different than what we are almost certainly going to see here, which is not one state determining who the next president is, but multiple states determining who the next president is. So could he go to court and try to overturn the results of one state? Sure. Two states? Maybe.
I mean, he will potentially flip five. But if he takes Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Georgia, Arizona, he's flipped five states. To do that in this political climate in 2020 is remarkable.
Yeah.
Correct. But, I mean, I guess my point is, like, to Michaela, will he try? Maybe. Can he? No. I mean, just no. The idea that any court would invalidate the votes of multiple, you know, in multiple states is just, it's not possible within the bounds of American democracy. Will Donald Trump try to, you know,
finagle his way in?
It's just important to clarify that, because, you know, if you're not super educated on politics, particularly like myself, you're watching press conferences that he did yesterday, and then you find yourself saying, my God, could he? Because he's screaming.
It's like the trauma of it all. Yeah. I think we've all been traumatized for 4 years.
You're absolutely not wrong. And Lindsey Graham, not only a sitting United States senator, but a just reelected United States senator and potentially the continued chairman of the U.S. Senate Judiciary Committee, went on television yesterday and suggested to Sean Hannity that the Pennsylvania state legislature should set aside the votes and appoint their own elector.
Should these Republican lawmakers in Pennsylvania and elsewhere, if there's corruption in the law, they don't abide by the law and they don't allow observers in as the law calls for, should they then invalidate this?
I think everything should be on the table. So there's the process of observing an election that's being violated. Philadelphia elections are crooked as a snake.
It is not legal in according to Pennsylvania state law.
Yeah.
Certainly it's not democratic in any way. Mm-hmm. Yes, the Pennsylvania legislature is a majority Republican legislature, but the idea that they would be involved in what would literally just be a coup in American democracy is absurd. But here's the thing. Even this is why it's so important that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris appear that they will win 306 electoral votes. Because even if
doesn't matter,
the Pennsylvania legislature tried to do that, that wouldn't matter because Joe Biden and Kamala Harris would still have 286 electoral votes, 16 more than they need to win the White House.
Well, Sam McGarrett-Pate, we appreciate you so much. We'll talk to you obviously next week as we continue with elections. Now, coming up, our very own Trump, John DiDomenico, joins us to discuss his initial thoughts on the election and what he'll do when he gets kicked out of the White House. We're back in 2 minutes.
It's moments like this where here at The Morning Beat, Michaela Gordon, I am so grateful to be your co-host. Because of your past connections to this man through the pageant circuit and whatnot, we have access to the President of the United States, Donald J. Trump. Now, we saw him go out and speak yesterday. He made some pretty wild claims. He's calling us, though, right now from the White House. President Trump, how are you feeling? What are your thoughts on the election?
Well, listen. I'm not happy. Pennsylvania, terrible state, and never like the Amish. Terrible people.
They don't vote.
They're finding ballots inside of soft pretzels. They're finding ballots inside of hoagies. They're just finding bags of ballots all over the place. It's terrible, and they're counting them. And they should only be counting the legal votes, not the illegal votes. That's how I feel.
Trump, I feel like, you know, you have such a composed demeanor all of the time. But yesterday you kind of surprised people in your press conference where you were saying it was a conspiracy between Democrats, pollster states, and the media. Do you actually believe that?
Oh, yes, because Putin told me, because he was trying to interfere and he couldn't interfere. I'm like, Putin, what's happening? He goes, that's too tight. I was like, come on, buddy, come on. You're supposed to wrap this up. You're supposed to wrap this up for me. You know, where's the interference? You know, all they go, Russia. And then, like, nothing happens. So I'm really not very happy about this. And I just want to let you two know that as, you know, Michaela, you know this, like, winning is my brand. It's what I'm all about. So on Monday, I'm going to be suing myself for tarnishing my winning brand. It's
going to be really incredible. Well, you're probably going to. Really, so I'm sure Rudy Giuliani's on top of that, your attorney. Also, you sent he and Eric to Philadelphia to sue so that you could get poll watchers 4 feet closer. Was that a big legal victory for you?
4 feet closer.
Do you think that's going to
cheating? That's the cheating zone. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
Cheating zone?
No.
Highway to the cheating zone. It's 4 feet.
Wow. Highway to the cheating zone.
That feels right.
Got it. Okay.
Yes.
Fair enough.
And I just want to warn you too, and I want everybody who listens to you, because if I don't win, there are going to be riots and looting like you've never seen before. Because my people, they're not like the young Antifa people. My people are going to be robbing golf stores. We're going to be knocking over medical supply places. They're going to be stealing walkers and CPAP machines.
What would you do with walkers?
Yeah, it's going to be.
Trump, what would you do with walkers? What would your base do with that?
Well, they need walkers. They need Florida needs walkers, people. Florida needs walkers.
Okay, well, I want to talk to you about your buddy Sean Hannity, because he suggested there be a do-over election, which has never happened. Are you in favor for that?
No, I'm not, because I've won. Oh. I don't need a do-over. I already won. I can tell, because if you count the legal votes, not the illegal votes, you know, supposedly some of the ballots are coming in crayon. I mean, obviously that's
not true.
Right.
No, it's not obviously. True.
I know it's Eric. But it's still also, I just want to let everybody know that we've got some wonderful things happening. There's a lovely house on 1600 Avenue here in D.C. that'll go up for sale on Monday if things don't go my way.
Oh, my God.
Well, we saw the moving truck there yesterday. We knew something was up. I want to know, what if you do, in fact, lose? Every president for 100 years more has conceded. Would you do that? Would you accept the results of this? Because it looks like it could happen very, very soon this morning.
No. We're burning this mother down. I mean, it's going to be a fire sale like you've never seen before.
You just
it's
said we're burning banana. This
I'm gonna
mother
sell
down.
I'm going to sell bridges, buildings. I mean, everything's up. Everything's up this year.
Now, I have a question. Melania had a moving truck. Well, there was a moving truck outside of the White House, and people are speculating that it was Melania. She's starting to move out. Will you be moving your things out yourself with the help of Melania?
No. I have squatter rights. I mean, I'm a real estate guy.
Okay, so you're not leaving.
You're going to have to take me kicking and screaming out of that building. Believe me.
Well, I just want to ask you one more thing before we go. You know, we're watching, we've heard what your thoughts on, you know, Michigan and Pennsylvania and Wisconsin, these states that have flipped Democrat. But what about these states that are run by Republicans? Arizona, Georgia, Republicans are in charge of these states, and they look to be flipping too. What's going on?
I don't understand Arizona. That used to be so red. It was like a red. You know, like it hurt. It was so red it hurt. And now, like, what is happening? Like these liberal principles are seeping into these once great Baskin Robbins. Bastions. I was thinking about ice cream.
Well, maybe you should have yourself a scoop.
Yes, two scoops.
Well, Trump, we'll be interested to see how this goes. Are you prepared to share a bedroom with Joe Biden if you don't get out of the White House and he wins?
Are you kidding me? I've never shared. I don't the idea of that is disgusting. I don't even share a bedroom with Melania.
Nevada is my state. I'm going to be president. I'm going to be the first elected lady president. I'm going to have a lovely inauguration. Billy Joel is going to sing. So you guys have to stop the recount.
I'm sorry, what?
Stop the count.
Right. Shut up, Gary. Ma'am, we can't.
I don't care.
The train has very publicly left the station and derailed at high speed.
No, yeah, stop the count.
Ma'am, this would look like a size 14 flip-flop. We really can't.
I don't give a f-. You're going to cancel this recount like Anne Frank's bat mitzvah.
Yeah, I'm on it.
So problematic.
I am obsessed.
Oh, Veep.
I don't care.
One of the funniest shows I've ever seen in my life. You know, obviously, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, just an icon.
It's just incredible.
The way that she plays Selena Meyer.
Why did she say, I don't care?
Well, the funniest thing is they're talking about Nevada, which is Nevada, first and foremost.
God,
let's get
I
it
hate.
Right. Michaela is from there.
I hate when they say Nevada.
And it's so, the irony, there's so many things right now that are happening in real life, in real time with this election that maybe a few years ago would have been like, no, that could never happen. That's like the stuff of movies or television shows. But they're happening for real. In that show, she's literally the reason they had a recount in Nevada. And then it starts going the wrong way for them. They say, stop the count, stop the count, stop the count. We're seeing that happen in real time in Arizona, in Philadelphia, in Georgia. The president of the United States is doing it right now. And his daughter, Mary Trump, was just on MSNBC talking about yesterday. Was it yesterday?
Niece.
I'm sorry. Did I say daughter? I mean niece. Daughter. Ivanka, we haven't heard from her. What happened to Tiffany?
It's fine. Niece. I often think of my niece as my daughter.
Fair enough. His niece, Mary, who wrote the book and it was all the controversy recently, she was on MSNBC saying that, listen, he's never been in this position before.
Yeah.
He's never not won. He's never not been able to buy himself out or bully himself out or maneuver himself out of a position. So this is just unprecedented in so many different ways. And now there's a new memo that CNN was able to obtain that was just released from Fox News in regards to how their anchors should report should Joe Biden, should Pennsylvania be called for Joe Biden. Michaela, why don't you take it away for us in News in the Beat? It's really fascinating.
This is wild. So Fox News is instructing its anchors not to call Joe Biden the president-elect when the network calls the race, according to two memos obtained by CNN. The memo says Fox should stay away from using the description. Instead, say something such as Biden has enough electoral votes to win the presidency. Now, the memos emphasized that the network should report moves by Trump's legal teams to challenge the results. We will report both sides until there is further guidance. One memo said Fox called Trump the president-elect the day after the 2016 election. But, you know, this isn't surprising to me for Fox News.
It's not surprising, but it's so hypocritical because 2016 was way closer than this is.
Yeah, but, you know, Fox has been this way for a long time. They're going to obviously take the stand with Donald Trump. We saw how, look, when your president can give a press conference the way he did yesterday, you can't be mad at media for not wanting to follow the rules either. I mean, it's blind leading the blind out
there. Another thing that's really interesting to me, though, is that Fox, correct me if I'm wrong, Justin, Fox called Arizona.
They did.
For Joe Biden.
As well as the AP.
Yes, and the AP, but ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, MSNBC, none of them have called it, but Fox called Arizona, which is really, because it looks like Trump still has a shot at Arizona right now, where the votes lie. Maybe not likely, but it's possible.
Yeah.
And so for Fox to call that and then reverse course in such a drastic way is just, I can't wrap my brain around it.
Yeah, that's wild. Well, there's more news with President Trump because President Trump has cast unfounded doubt on the election process as his path to a second term is narrowing. In a speech yesterday, Trump alleged voter fraud and said unnamed opponents are trying to steal an election and trying to rig an election. He also called mail-in voting corrupt and made several false claims about how elections are run at the state level. The Trump campaign has filed several election-related lawsuits in various states, but the legal challenges often haven't held up. Some Trump supporters have outright urged violence. Former advisor Steve Bannon was permanently banned from Twitter after calling for attacks on Dr. Anthony Fauci and FBI Director Christopher Wray. In Philadelphia, police are investigating a potential attack plot at the Pennsylvania Convention Center, where votes were being tallied last night. Protests and unrest roiled several cities as election anxiety mounts.
And I really want to clarify Steve Bannon being banned from Twitter. it wasn't just he was just calling for violence. He said that Dr. Anthony Fauci should be beheaded and his head should be on the fence, hanging from the fence in front of the White House in Trump's second term.
That's so vile.
So disgusting. I don't care what you believe, who you support. There is no place for that in an American democracy. And he should be banned. He should be heading to prison.
He's Steve. Is he Steve Bannon?
Wow, he should be banned.
I did that.
That's where your brain
went. Steve Bannon. Also, I just want to say, a friend of mine just posted this on Facebook, and I let.
Wow.
Stop.
She's a comedian.
Stop it.
She's
stop
here all
it.
Week.
Well, stop
it's Friday.
It. I mean, I'm here till another hour. But a friend of mine posted to a Trump supporter, you know, it's so funny. You were all about all lives matter, but what about all votes count? Differs for you.
I think I posted that yesterday.
I just read it that my friend said.
Oh, I posted that yesterday
you
as well.
Did?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Well, it's amazing. Well, I love that.
My mom said, be nice.
No, that is being nice.
There's a difference between gloating and just calling out simple facts. Like, let's just be real about some
things. Listen to me. There's nothing to gloat about. We're just asking for normalcy. If you're a Trump supporter, fine. I'm just saying, then use your words.
Yes.
Because all lives matter, and they do.
It's like you can't say keep counting in, stop the count in Pennsylvania, but keep counting in Arizona. That doesn't it doesn't cut both ways.
Yeah,
it's not how it works.
Okay, well, if you're alive and you're voting, your count should your vote should count.
Yes.
So all lives and votes matter. Now let's do weather. It's 73 in Kansas City, 82 in Miami, 61 in San Francisco, and 93 in Phoenix.
This vibe is wise. You ready for it?
Ready.
What separates the winners from the losers is how a person reacts to each new twist of fate. Those are the words of President Donald Trump from 2014.
All right, you guys. Well, coming up, Dr. James Simmons joins us to discuss whether or not we have had a spike on COVID-19 cases and if we are one step closer to a vaccine. We're back in 2 minutes.
With everything going on in the world and in our country right now, in particular, we're all on the edge of our seats waiting to see what happens next in this campaign. We're hitting some staggering numbers of new infections of COVID-19 that have us here at the Morning Beat concerned. So we've got our medical expert, Dr. James Simmons, on the line right now. Dr. James, thanks for being here. I know you're very, very busy. Hospitals are getting busy again. What's the latest?
My pleasure. You know, I think it is so interesting that, you know, everyone, including the rest of the world, but obviously everyone here in the United States is really, you know, fixated on this. Fixated is the better word. You can tell I'm at the hospital. Fixated on this election results, but at the same time, we're actually unfortunately setting record numbers of COVID infections, so positive numbers. And in some parts of the country, we're seeing record numbers of hospitalizations. But interestingly, I do want to give some positive news. We are still continuing to see the rate of death, so the death rate for this, drop substantially.
Well, but we're seeing new infections, though. That is fantastic news. So what do we make of this? We see new infections over 100,000 for the last couple of days. We're breaking records Thursday, 121,054 new cases. Those numbers, they feel scary, but are they less scary than they were in April?
No, I think these numbers are still scary, and in fact, they're probably to some degree scarier, and let me explain why. So obviously we don't want anyone to get infected with this disease at all. And even though the death rates are dropping, people still get very sick from this. And it still has a higher death rate now than most other sort of contagious viral illnesses, including the flu. So you still do not want to get this thing. You still do not want to be sick with it. We still do not know the long-term consequences of this disease. And we're starting to learn a little bit about that. But remember, people have only been getting sick with this for about a year now globally. So there's just so much we don't know. I promise you, you do not want this disease. However, why these numbers really, really scare me, AJ and Michaela, is that this, we've been talking about this from the beginning, the potential to overrun the healthcare system is very much real and very much there. And when we start seeing numbers like 121,000 new recorded infections per day, you know, that happened yesterday, we've been over 100,000 now for subsequent days. What starts to happen is even though people are dying less from this disease, many people are still required to be hospitalized. And there's only so many resources in the hospital. In LA County, for instance, we only have 1,100 ICU beds. So if you can start to do the math in a county, a city of 4 million people, a county of, I think, 17 million people, in Southern California, there's 26 million people. If we don't have very many ICU beds, even if you're not going to die from this, if you are sick enough to be hospitalized, there may not be room and resources for you. And I have a feeling we may end up going back to some parts of the country are going to start opening triage centers again, right, where they're doing hospitals in auditoriums and stadiums and these, you know, military medical tents. I think it could be, we could be in for a really, really rough winter.
Well, I know you're talking about, we've heard a lot about how the flu season could be really bad. Now I'm seeing reports that maybe the flu season might not be as bad as we expected. Is that true? And if so, why?
I think the flu season is quite a bit unknown. I am somewhat optimistic about the flu season in that, you know, I think because people are wearing masks, you know, there's, we talk so much about everyone who's not wearing masks. About 60% of Americans endorse wearing masks all the time and when they're supposed to. I think that's great. Now, there are still 40% of people in the United States who are adults who are consciously making this decision to not wear a mask. That's a different discussion. But masks not only help prevent spreading COVID, but they help prevent spreading the flu. They help prevent spreading the common cold. And so if people are generally not gathering in large groups, one of the biggest spreaders of the flu and the common cold are workplaces. So if so many people are still not in large offices with lots of people sharing elevators, sharing bathrooms, sharing things like that, they're wearing masks, they're not getting together in large groups. The aptitude to have a big flu outbreak and have, you know, we usually have somewhere between 30,000 and 75,000 flu deaths a year that happen, and it varies widely. I think that number is going to be a lot smaller. So everyone was sort of scared of a twindemic, right? COVID and flu coming this winter. I think if people continue to wear masks and if people continue to physically distance, only gather in small groups, preferably outside, wear your masks if you have to be inside and open the windows so you can ventilate, we can prevent both of these from getting out of control. We just need people to actually do that.
Dr. James Simmons, we appreciate you so much. We'll have more, of course, for you next week. But coming up, it's Friday, and if President Trump hasn't played enough mind games.
This guy is giving us, he's taking us on a roller coaster ride. I feel like we're all losing our minds with this election right now. There's a lot going on.
We're playing Top 10 Fictional Presidents. We're back in 2 minutes.
Welcome back to the Morning Beat. We do have a couple of updates for you before we get into the segment. Nevada, Joe Biden has got a couple thousand extra vote lead.
You better come through, Nevada, bad girl.
He's pulling away a little bit more in Nevada. Right now, they still have some more votes coming in. Arizona is actually tightening a bit in favor of Donald Trump, but maybe not to the degree it needs to for him to actually catch Joe Biden. And CNN just called the Senate race in Arizona between Martha McSally and
Mark Kelly.
I was thinking John Kelly. I was thinking the former John or Mark Kelly, who is the husband of Gabby Giffords, who became famous after that. You know, she was unfortunately shot and attacked, and she's become quite a voice for the Democratic Party. They've actually called that race now in Arizona. Interesting turn of events taking place in that state right now.
I feel like we've been trying to plan and prepare to the best of our ability, but there's just no way to do it with this election. It's a moment by moment, things are just changing.
So we're keeping you updated. We're also going to lighten things up right now with a little game. So let's just do that intro music one more time, Justin. I feel like our listeners really need to be prepared for this because it really inspires the patriotism in us all in this moment of crazy.
I mean, you're literally throwing up a fist and like breaching it to the sky.
I am.
You're pushing your fist to the sky. You're so impressed.
It's time for a game. We're going to lighten things up. It's been a wild week. This game is called Democrazy because things are crazy right now. Let's play it, Justin. What are the rules?
So the rules are, I'm going to give you guys questions about famous fictional TV and movie presidents.
That means fake, Michaela. Fictional means fake. Got
it.
You just have to answer the questions.
Okay,
real
perfect.
Simple, real easy.
Straightforward. I don't have a lot of brain cells left after this week, so this is great.
I got to do this right.
I can't do any more math. I've been crunching numbers all week long.
No math involved. Wrong. Very easy.
Perfect. Let's do it.
Michaela, you're up first. President Josiah Bartlett oversaw two terms as president on the hit NBC show The West Wing. Which actor portrayed the iconic president for all 7 seasons?
Ooh, that's good.
Can I have a hint? Can I phone a friend?
It's from a famous family of actors.
He's from a famous family of actors. One of the Baldwins?
Nope. His son was Charlie.
I was going to say. I was going to say Emilio Estevez.
No, okay. It's not right either.
That's not right either.
It's not.
Martin Sheen.
I know.
Come on.
In my head, I had Emilio Estevez. I was thinking Famous Families.
You got the steal.
Oh, I got that point. Yep,
you got the
is.
Point. Okay. And to
Whatever.
Extend on your lead, before actor Dennis Haysbert was the face of Allstate, he played David Palmer in 5 seasons of which iconic show?
24. Come on, please. That's so easy.
I literally want to lose
Sutherland
this so bad.
Show that's 2 points.
Remember that first season of that show was so fire? They did 24 episodes, and each episode was 1 hour. It was genius.
Real time.
Yeah.
Real time.
So good.
Michaela, to cut into AJ's lead, President James Marshall withstood a hostage situation led by terrorist Gary Oldman in which high-flying 1997 film?
Okay, I was watching Clueless in 1997, not this.
High-flying.
Okay, give it one more time.
President James Marshall, played by Harrison Ford, withstood a hostage situation led by terrorist Gary Oldman in what high-flying 1997 film?
I feel like people
film?
In their cars are screaming,
screaming
at me right now.
Screaming.
I don't know.
Hey, listen, I'm just going to say this. Harrison Ford escaped from a pod. Air Force One. So good.
Okay, clearly you're thriving at this
game. I
feel like Trump and you're Biden right now.
I'm
it's
obsessed.
Just not going well for me, but I'm not going to quit.
I'm obsessed with politics.
You
I've
may
been
make
my
a Pennsylvania-style comeback, Michaela, so hold faith.
AJ, there.
Before The West Wing was created for television, writer Aaron Sorkin wrote the screenplay about the life of President Andrew Shepard in what 1996 film?
Oh, The Life of Andrew Shepard.
Let him get it wrong. You don't know it.
Is it a throwback film? I don't know. The American President.
God, you got that right?
I'm just playing along. I know exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh my God.
I like giving you hope.
If you guys
are you able to read my questions over here?
No, I've seen every one of these movies 100 times. I'm obsessed.
If you guys are just tuning in, we're playing a ravishing, riveting game of fake presidents. Clearly, I can't get one right for the life of me.
What's the game called? Democrazy.
Democrazy.
Because it's crazy.
Michaela. To try to come back, President Thomas J. Whitmore inspired fighters to rally against an army of extraterrestrials in this 1996 film, Independence Day.
We're going to live on. We're going to survive.
Wait, so what was the question?
Today, we celebrate our Independence Day.
What actor portrayed this great president?
Are you joking? Are you joking? You're talking to somebody who listens to Kim Petras every single day in the car on my way home. You think I know this answer?
Oh.
I don't know this answer.
Oh, gosh. I can't think. I'm thinking of Steve Guttenberg, but he's not the actual president.
The Goot is a great actor, but he is not the president.
Who was it?
Bill Pullman.
Oh, gosh. Yes, duh.
You know what? I'm going to go ahead and just end this for our listeners
right now. No, we got one more.
Right
I have one more. You got three. I get three.
Our listeners aren't even entertained by this anymore.
No, they're playing along.
I think they feel sorry for me.
There are people who watch this sort of stuff who are obsessed with us right now, Michaela Gordon. You're getting dragged. Come on.
AJ, for your final question, British actor Peter Sellers portrays President Merkin Muffley in this 1964 political satire about accidental nuclear war, directed by Stanley Kubrick. Let me play you a clip.
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
What is the movie?
Oh, God. Stanley Kubrick?
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I can even think of is Clockwork Orange, and it's not that.
That movie was wild.
Michaela.
I know.
For the steal.
Carrie Underwood.
Unfortunately, no. It was Doctor Strangelove.
But... Oh, Dust Knight.
Doctor Strangelove. How did I miss that one? It was like on the tip of my lips. Am I right? I was like, Doctor Strangelove.
You were so
like,
there.
No, you just say it, Michaela. And I was like, okay.
She's losing her mind. Who won?
I feel bad. And
you know, in a shocking close matchup, much like our presidency, actually nothing like our presidency, AJ wins.
To be fair, I'm still waiting for my mail-in ballots.
To be fair,
so
it was
calm down.
A landslide.
To be fair, mail-in ballots in the military. So.
It's time again for What's Poppin'. We wish we had better news for you, but Michaela's going to take that over in just a moment. Before we get there, we do have some good news for you. Our show gets turned into a podcast every day. Hey, if you didn't know that, now you know. So if you can't listen to us live every single day, that's okay. Do it when you can, and when you can't, download the radio.com app, listen to The Morning Beat as a podcast anywhere you take your mobile device. Tell your friends and family.
Absolutely.
Now, this story has me a little sad. What's popping, Michaela?
This is really sad. So Al Roker, you know, he has just been a longtime host and meteorologist for the Today Show, had a big announcement this morning. Take a listen.
After a routine checkup in September, turns out I have prostate cancer. And it's a good news, bad news kind of thing. And good news is we caught it early. Not great news is that it's a little aggressive. So I'm going to be taking some time off to take care of this.
Now, he's 66 years old, and obviously everybody was devastated. He got the diagnosis September 30th, so he's known for about a month and a half, been able to really kind of prepare. He did say that it was aggressive, but he also wanted to talk about why he came out publicly. Take a listen.
It's a little more common than people, I think, realize, and so I just decided that I wanted to go public with this because one in nine men are going to be diagnosed with prostate cancer in their lifetime. But for African American men, that number is one in seven and is more deadly. So if you detect it early, this is a really treatable disease. And it's why I wanted to take you along my journey.
I think that's amazing. I'm so happy that he has come out publicly and used this as an example for black and white men, because I think, you know, we all get complacent. We don't get our checkups nearly as much as we're maybe supposed to, very understandably. Even women with mammograms, you know, we don't stay on top of it. And then you see stories like Al Roker, and I'm so grateful that he's able to have it treated.
I get a full physical every year. I take it very seriously, especially once you get around the age 40. I turned 40 this summer, and it's super, super important to stay on top of those things. And luckily, he said he did catch it early. You know, I host the red carpet for the Golden Globes every year. For about 4 or 5 years now, I've been doing that. And right next to us, our station right next to us is always the Today Show. And so that's Al Roker. He's there for the Today Show every year. And he is one of the most kind, like just a soft, genuine human being.
Yeah.
He just is just as wonderful in real life as he seems to be on television. Not an ounce of ego or pretense about him.
That's so
just
amazing.
Sending him so much love for a full recovery.
Yeah, so much love. All right, you guys, well, coming up at our final hour, our favorite attorney, Paul LaCanny, joins us to discuss if Trump will find any success with his lawsuits and what she would advise him to do. Coming up next.
And that, Marjorie, just so you will know, and your children will someday know, is the night the lights went out in Georgia.
Yes, honey.
Iconic. But we're hearing now that the lights might need to be turned back on because, according to the Attorney General of Georgia, Christopher M. Carr, they're doing a recount. We saw this coming. We knew it happened. The margins are so close. I believe Biden is ahead by about 1,500 votes right now, roughly. He's extended his lead this morning in Nevada and in Pennsylvania. Arizona's tightening up just a bit. We're keeping an eye on all of these races for you. And Mark Kelly, though, was just announced by CNN as the winner for the Senate seat, defeating Martha McSally in Arizona, previously a very Republican state. But also, got to keep in mind, this is the home state of the McCain family.
Yeah.
And Donald Trump spent a lot of time the last 4 years really dogging on John McCain, calling him not a war hero, not going to his funeral, not invited to his funeral. And Joe Biden actually eulogized his good friend. And they sparred on opposite ends of the aisle for decades.
Yeah.
But had so much respect for each other. And I really do believe Cindy McCain's endorsement, if it comes down to this, her endorsement of Joe Biden in Arizona meant a lot.
Yeah.
And people there remember how John McCain was treated by Donald Trump. So really, so many fascinating subplots and storylines going on.
It goes to show you, this is like a life lesson. You never know, ever know what you're doing in this moment, how it's going to affect years from now, months from now, be it good or bad.
Well, because you see that happening in Arizona, then you go over to Georgia. I mean, we're talking Arizona and Georgia. These are Democrat would dream for these. A Democrat hasn't won Georgia since Bill Clinton's first time around. It's been a while. And you look over at Georgia where Stacey Abrams, black woman trying to become the first black female to be the governor of that state, lost to Brian Kemp, who was the former attorney general, Secretary of State, I'm so sorry, who had a lot of control over that election. And they say it was rigged. They say it was rigged against her. She then turns around, takes that opportunity to register nearly a million new voters in the state of Georgia. So these two states, traditionally very Republican, you spurn John McCain and Cindy McCain in Arizona, and you spurn Stacey Abrams in Georgia, and look what happens a couple years later.
Yeah.
It's fascinating.
It's fascinating.
What else is going on in the news, Michaela?
All right, well, this just came out earlier this morning. Fox News is instructing its anchors not to call Joe Biden the president-elect. when the network calls the race, according to two memos obtained by CNN. The memos say Fox should stay away from using the description and instead say something such as Biden has enough electoral votes to win the presidency. Now, the memos emphasized that the network should report moves by Trump's legal teams to challenge the results. We will report both sides until there is further guidance, one memo said. Fox called Trump the president-elect the day after the 2016 election. I would love to say that it's a shock, but it's just absolutely not to me. So,
well, yeah, it's interesting that Fox News is now saying we can't call him that. You can't say president-elect when they did that so quickly, when Hillary won by 3 million votes and still she didn't get that same
respect. Yeah, but we've talked about it a million times. Yeah. It's like how he wants mail-in ballots for Arizona, but he doesn't want for Pennsylvania. Like, they just, it's whatever is going to work in their favor and benefit them.
You know, I read a really interesting article yesterday that broke down the history of voting in our country in the last, like, 40 years, really, since probably Reagan, going back, I guess, 40 years. And we have this idea, and it's often portrayed in the media, that it's minorities that are changing the election, and they're changing this, and they're having such a big impact, when 80% of American voters are still white. And in the entire 40 years, the majority of white voters have voted Republican every single election.
Yeah.
So if you're looking at our nation saying things are wrong, things need to change, things need to whatever, you got to look inside yourself, because it's white voters who have been in control of this country by and large for its entirety.
Yeah.
So to point the blame at, you know, Latino voters in Arizona or Florida or black voters in Georgia, it's just a fallacy. It's not true. It never has been. But it's easy for a lot of white voters to think, you know, to look at it that way and say, well, it's their fault. Well, it's collectively everyone's fault.
Yeah.
And we just got to take ownership of that.
All right. Well, let's take a little ownership of the weather. It's going to be a high of 93 in Phoenix today, a high of 50 in Seattle, 73 in Atlanta, and 73 in Baltimore. Now, give us a vibe of the day.
These are truly inspirational words, the vibe today. What separates the winners from the losers is how a person reacts to each new twist of fate.
Oh, who said that?
So powerful. Donald Trump on Twitter in 2014.
Oh, excellent. All right, you guys, well, coming up, attorney Paula Canning joins us to discuss if Trump will find any success with his lawsuits and what she would advise him if he were her client. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
We are going to file suit in Pennsylvania. It's a shame that we have to do that. It's the last thing that we wanted to do. It's the last thing my father wanted to do. But this is rampant corruption, and it can't happen. It simply can't happen. It's not fair.
Eric. Eric Trump, come on. Just because you say it's true doesn't mean it is. And also, we all know that your father and your entire family love to litigate everything you can.
Hello.
We all saw this coming. We're heading to the courts right now. Will it actually make it to the courts, though, is the question. Here to help us answer that is Paula Canning, one of our favorite attorneys from here in Northern California. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
What do you make of all this, and how worried should we be that Trump could actually find a way to litigate himself into a second term?
Well, it's absolutely predictable that he's going to file lawsuits wherever he can. And it's easy to file a lawsuit, but it's hard to win a lawsuit. The Trump campaign has already filed two lawsuits and has lost each one of them. They filed one in Michigan and one in, I believe, Pennsylvania. But absolutely, that Trump campaign is going around filing lawsuits. But the thing that's so interesting about this is each state has its own state laws that control election and recall, that control, you know, recounts and the like. So this is just more of their Trumpian bluster. Oh, we're going to sue. Just because you file a lawsuit doesn't mean you're going to win. And so far they haven't, and hopefully they won't.
Now, Paula, I want to know, you've been doing, you've been practicing for such a long time. You've seen so many cases. You're in San Francisco. Have you ever seen anything so outrageous in your life, especially coming from the president of the United States?
No, that press conference he did last night was unbelievable, that the sitting president would just get up and lie, that all the major networks cut from him and said he wasn't telling the truth. It is unbelievable. I mean, I've never seen anything, you know, like this in my lifetime. I never would have ever. I worried that I'm out of touch with reality, that still so many people could support this guy, because he doesn't tell the truth. He's done a horrible job. We're leading the world in COVID cases. The irony is the counties that have the highest COVID counts were all Trump counties. So clearly the people that are Trumpers aren't, no offense to them, but they're clearly not thinking properly. In terms of lawsuits and the like, there's only really been one lawsuit that went to the Supreme Court, and that was Bush v. Gore. And what, you know, Trump is saying, we need to take it to the Supreme Court right now. How it goes.
Yeah. He doesn't really
Gore
just get...
Didn't get to... Yeah, it doesn't work like that. It has to wind its way through state courts, and the couple lawsuits he's filed have been in state courts where he doesn't control it. So he lost in each of those instances. So it'll be interesting. Each state of the Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin have different rules regarding recounts. Mm-hmm. And Arizona, there won't be a recount because you can't petition for one. Georgia, there could be a recount if the margin is less than 0.5%. Nevada, you can only get a recount if the candidate pays for the recount, the person seeking it. Pennsylvania, probably not. The margin has to be less than 0.5%. Or, that's a weird one, any county that three people ask for a recount requires a recount. And in Wisconsin, it has to be less than 1%. So I anticipate he'll petition for recounts and all those.
Yeah, he's going to try.
He won't even get there.
Well,
absolutely going to try.
We saw in 2016, Jill Stein paid for a recount in Wisconsin. It didn't change anything. Really quickly before we let you go, though, just play along with me for just a moment. Let's say you were a member of Donald Trump's legal team right now. If there were a course of action,
yes,
for him to extend this or give himself any sort of shot, what advice would you give him?
I would say that he should file lawsuits in any state where there were recounts. So, for example, in Pennsylvania, he filed the lawsuit trying to stop the recounts. And he petitioned to the U.S. Supreme Court. Clarence Thomas, Neil Gorsuch, and Alioto have written, they rejected it, but said, come back after the election is over, and maybe we'll consider blocking those mail-in votes. So, I mean, you know, what they're going to do, I guess my advice would be, you know, file everything, lawsuits everywhere, and sow chaos everywhere. And then my advice to the Biden team would be, you know, stand tall in truth, just like you've done. And the states will actually themselves represent the state in the Trump lawsuits. Not Biden, but the state, because what Trump is attacking is the integrity of the state electoral process.
Yep.
So the state has a vested interest in defending itself against these, you know, spurious, untrue attacks.
Well,
they're just garbage.
Paula Canny, you're incredible. I would like to actually have you on speed dial so that anytime anyone offends me even slightly, I can just call you. Like, Paula's not going to deal with you right now. Talk to my attorney,
yeah.
Paula.
Well, I would be happy to. Right now, I'm on a tear. I'd be happy to go
we
out.
We noticed.
Oh, I love you. I love when you get like this, Paula. We look forward to talking to you next week. Hopefully, you will call in. We appreciate you. Now, coming up, we've talked to Paula, but now it's time to talk to our very own Trump. John D. Domenico joins us coming up next.
Tell me something good.
We could all use a little good news right now. It's been a wild, stressful week, but we've got you covered with some inspirational stories in a segment we call Tell Me Something Good. Now, Mississippi debuted their new non-racist state flag, which is fantastic news.
Woo!
You know, their old flag had the Dixie, the Confederate flag on it. No longer. So that is really exciting. It's actually really pretty. It's got a magnolia flower in the middle, and then it says, "In God We Trust." It is red, gold, blue, and white. I think it's really definitely an upgrade. After over 2,000 designs were proposed by residents of the state that followed two simple rules. Number one, no Confederate imagery. and also the phrase "In God We Trust" needed to be included. What they came up with is actually very, very, it's classy. I like it. I'm proud of it.
I love that. Okay, this story is amazing. The officer who was fired for being a lesbian beat the man who fired her and got elected sheriff, and it's coming out of Hamilton County, Ohio.
Uh-oh.
Way to go, Ohio. We have a little audio of how that went down. Take a listen.
Remember, when I was 14 and a little girl, I was told, no way, you can never even be a police officer because you're a girl, because you're a woman. And look where we stand today. I'm so proud of everybody that made this happen.
Now, that was Charmaine McGuffey, and she decided to run for sheriff after she claimed she was unjustly fired by her competitor, Jim Neal, because she raised concerns about the use of force by the police officers on the force, and also because she does not hide her sexuality. Jim Neal believed the claims were false and then said that she was actually fired because she created a hostile work environment. But look at that, honey, karma. She beat him. She's the sheriff.
Looks like voters agreed with her version of the story.
Look at that.
Just to remind you, this is a positive spin with Lexus, brought to you by the Lexus LS 500 Hybrid. Now, here's our last story. Bunny the dog. He knows how to talk. Sort of.
Really?
Well, he does so by stepping on buttons with words on them. Do we actually have a little bit of audio of this, Justin?
Wait, that's so cute.
In your paw? Let me see your paw.
There are buttons on the ground with words.
This is the stranger in her paw. She's got a mat between her. Ow,
on
toes.
Them, a number of different buttons, all with words on them. And this 15-month-old sheepadoodle named Bunny knows how to talk. Her mom, Alexis, has been teaching
That's
her.
So
how cool
cute.
Is that? I've been wanting to get a dog for so long, and I'm terrified that I would have to teach it how to, you know, go to the restroom outdoors, let alone have a conversation with buttons. There are probably 20 or 30 buttons on here. This video has gone viral on TikTok. Currently, Bunny, though, this 15-month-old dog, has 437,000 Instagram followers. And racked up 4.8 million followers on TikTok. This video has received 83 million likes. 83
oh, I love it.
Million.
I love that.
That's
so cute.
Bonkers. Me over here, I still don't understand TikTok. So that's that.
You're doing good, though. You're doing terrible, actually, but that's okay.
Well, I want to say, you know, this is AJ and Michaela, and I'll be taking a positive spin this weekend in my Lexus LS 500 Hybrid. Make your day a positive one by sharing some good vibes and putting positivity out into the world in a way that feels authentic to you. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer today. This is a positive spin with Lexus, brought to you by the Lexus LS 500 Hybrid.
I love that. Well, you guys, that's the end of our show. As always, thank you so much for listening. It's going to be a crazy weekend with Biden on the verge of presidency. He will address the nation tonight. We'll continue keeping you informed. We don't even know how to tease Monday because it could be all up in the air, but
anything,
you know, we'll have
anything could happen.
All the information. Wear your masks, wash your hands, and we'll see you tomorrow.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.